This shiur, as well as all say the kachim's Lili Nishmas of Yaakov Tzvi Kupiatsky. Today's shiur is Masechet Erech and Daf Chof, and we will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. We learned in our previous shiur that the Mishnah taught us if somebody says the Meyodei Olai, if somebody obligated himself to give the value of his hand. So we had a machloikus of Rav and Abaya, exactly how is that appraisal done. Rav's opinion was that we look at how much an Eved with two hands is worth more than an Eved with one hand, and that is the amount given to Hegdish. Abaya had a problem with that approach, and Abaya, therefore, at the end of our shiur, said yesterday that what you do is you look at a person who is owned by someone else, and now you're buying that Eved, and what would be the difference in price if you bought an Eved that you have rights to use both of his hands versus buying an Eved that you have right to one hand. So before we begin today's shiur, we need to review something that we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Torah many times speaks about appraisal. But there's a rule that when a field, a property is Hegdish, and it needs to be appraised, the Torah mentions the word Koyin 10 times in that appraisal process. And the Gemara, beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, teaches us, from here we learn, that for the appraisal of Hegdish, you need 10 people, even though typically 3 people are enough. And because the Torah uses the word Koyin in that parasha 10 times, so it falls into a situation of Miyut Achamiyut, Ein Miyut Achamiyut El Rabbis, and the group has to be 9 Yisraelim, or any Leviim, and 1 Koyin. Actually, a very interesting question that many Rishonim and Achronim discuss. And we know, also, we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, that Ein Bezdin Shokel. You could never have an even number of members of a Bezdin. So here we have 10 members doing the appraisal. It's an even number. So how is that acceptable? Many Rishonim and Achronim grapple with that question. The simplest terrors that the Rishonim suggest is that the Torah explicitly here says 10. So the Torah, by saying 10, is telling us that here it's 10 is good enough. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that really, as is normally the case, 3 are enough. So it's not like you have 10. It's really 3 plus 7. Another teretz, Sfas Emes says a very interesting teretz. He says that if you have a deadlock, 5 and 5, so what you do is, since one of them has to be a Koyin, as I just said, the Torah, by telling us that one of them has to be a Koyin, that means that he's the tiebreaker. And what if he's on the group of one side, that's the opinion that will be followed. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that in case you have a deadlock, so you have to add more. Tori Evan says a very bechiddush. Shasem says it as well, that not only do you need 10, but all 10 have to agree. There has to be consensus of all 10. So why is the rule that you can't have an even numbered Bezdin? Because you can have a deadlock. But here you have to have, you know, everybody has to agree, so there's no question of a deadlock, and you can have an even number. The Brisker Rav says a very nice teretz. The Brisker Rav says as follows. He says, what is pshat Ein Bezdin Shokel? We don't want to have a deadlock. 10 people, 5 and 5. So in most Dinei Torah, there's only one of two options. Potter or Chayiv. In an appraisal of a field, you could have many more than two opinions. In fact, you could have 10 Jews and 10 opinions. So the reason you don't want to have an even number, because you want to guarantee a majority to one side. Here, an odd number won't guarantee you that you're going to have a roif, because as many people as you have, you could have as many, you still may have that many opinions, and we're just going to have to follow whichever opinion is the majority. So there's no reason not to have an even number. Since, as we also know, throughout halacha, people are compared to karka, so therefore the halacha is that when it comes to evaluate people, we need to follow the same procedure as we evaluate karka. We need to have 10 people for that evaluation. And with that, we begin the shiur. And again, it's important to point out that Achroinim make this point, that the question that we begin today's shir by Rava with is only Rava according to his opinion on how the evaluation is carried out. That it's carried out looking at him as an Eved this way versus an Eved with one hand versus with two hands. According to Abaya, this isn't a regular situation of appraisal, and the rules of appraisal weren't applied. And that's what Achronim actually point out, that the Rambam doesn't even discuss the issues that we're discussing this year, because the Rambam paskins like Abaya, not like Rava. So says the Gemara, by Rava, he was an individual who was evaluated for, he was part of an accident, he was in an accident, and they evaluated him. Vomer, and after that accident, he said, Dami alai, mahu. He was already evaluated. No, when you're evaluated for an accident, you're evaluated with only three people. But for this Gemara, you need to be evaluated with 10 people. So that appraisal isn't going to work. So the Sfasemis asks, if we're learning today's shir, and if the halach is clearly you need 10 people, so what's the Gemara's havamina? So he says a beautiful teretz. He says, of course, under normal circumstances, the appraisal of just three people for these halachas that we're learning is inadequate. But, says the Sfasemis, what's Pshat and Rava's question? Pshat and Rava's question is that this person, let's follow his experience. He was Rachmal Tzlan in an accident, and he was appraised. And right after that appraisal, he said, Dami Alai. So there's reason to believe, says the Sfasemis Rava's asking, that even though normally Dami Alai requires an appraisal of 10 people, you have to look at the circumstances. And the fact that he said the words Dami Alai immediately after being appraised, isn't that an indication that he meant to give that number? And maybe that's why he shouldn't have to go through the 10-person appraisal. Imtim Tzlam, continues the Gemara, Shani Umda Debei Asara, Mumda Debei Tlasa, the halach is you have to have 10. And an appraisal of three isn't going to work. So ask the Gemara now. Amar Dami Alai. Somebody says Dami Alai. Vemdu, and they appraised him. V'chaz v'amar Dami Alai. And then immediately afterwards he says Dami Alai again. Mahu. What will be the halacha? Hocha vada. Vemdu be'esari. He was evaluated by 10 people and should be good enough. Adoma shavach beni. There may have been a fluctuation. So we're going to learn the Gemara, Be'ezra Hashem, with the way the Brisk Rav teaches us to learn the Gemara. Because if we think about this Gemara, it's a difficult Gemara. He was appraised by 10 people, and 5 minutes later he has another appraisal. What happens in 5 minutes? And this question will keep on coming up in all of the issues that the Gemara raises. Says the Brisk Rav, of course, nobody could argue that an appraisal that's done, and 5 minutes later there's a need to do another appraisal, you're going to get a different answer. The question that the Gemara is asking, he says, is when the Torah requires an appraisal, does every neder require its own appraisal? So here he said, Dami Alai, and he was appraised. And then he said, Dami Alai. So the appraisal isn't just to know his value. If the entire purpose of the appraisal were just to know his value, I know his value. It could be the Torah requires a specific appraisal per neder, and that you didn't have here. They never had a chance to appraise him. The Chazva Adami Alai, and then he says again. And now we're going to do both appraisals together. One appraisal will be adequate. Since he made two separate Nadarim, Trey, Zimnim, and Dimilai. So here too the Brisk Rav, with his approach, explains the Gemara. Certainly if somebody said Dami Alai, and then he said Dami Alai again, says the Brisk Rav, now we appraise him. And when we do the appraisal, we have in mind both Nadarim. There's no point in doing two separate appraisals. What happened here was, says the Rav, that they did an appraisal, but they only had one Nadar in mind. So if we say that the purpose of the appraisal is to get the number, we'll get the number. If the purpose is because every Nadar requires its own appraisal, one in the Nadarim did not have appraisal done for its purpose, and you have to do it again. Continues the Gemara. Vimtim Tzolaymer. Kivin the Bezach is another. Trey Zimna. Since he made two separate Nadarim. So the halach is Trey Zimna and Daniel. We have to appraise him two times. Amish Ne Damelai. Bebas Achas. If he said at the same time the word twice, Hocha, Vader Vas Achas Nader, it's all considered one Nether. And since it's all considered one Nether, again with the Rav, Bebas Achas Amdinalei, here everybody would agree that one appraisal is adequate. Idom Akim the Kamer Shnei, since he said the word Shnei, so it's Kazach Hazeh, it's considered two separate Nadarim, and every Nether requires its own appraisal. Continues the Gemara, Imtim Tzolomer, and Tysus points out that even though the Gemara here uses the word Imtim Tzolomer, and typically when the Gemara uses the word Imtim Tzolomer, each question is built on the previous question. This question that the Gemara is about to ask, says Tysus, could stand on its own. It's a legitimate question on its own. Kiven the Amr, Shnei Kazach Hazeh Dami. If he said two times Dami, you have to have a separate appraisal for each nether. What will be the halacha? Amdu me'elav. This person was appraised anyway. Mi aminin. Ha'amid me'elav. He had an appraisal. We know his value. And there's no point in doing another one. Ha'amid me'elav kai. Aydama be'ina kavana l'umdana. The question that is the heart of the matter, does an umdana have to be made to fulfill the nether requirement? Suggest the Gemara. Pshayt mi'achada. Maybe this last question could be answered. The Tanan, we're going to learn the next Mishnah Mitzvah. If somebody said Domi Olai, he obligates himself with his value, Umeis, and he immediately dies afterwards, the halacha is Layitnu Yarshim. The Yarshim don't have to give anything. And we'll discuss in a few moments extensively as to why. Shein Dom L'meisim. Now ask the Gemara. V'sakadatech, if we're going to say that evaluation that exists, even if it wasn't done specifically for this nether, is considered an acceptable evaluation. So every person is sort of evaluated. The Gemara says as follows. What is the purpose of evaluation? We do an appraisal of a person. Obviously, there are many factors. And those factors could give us a different price. So one individual could be worth $10,000, and another individual could be worth $9,000 because he isn't so healthy and he isn't so smart. And there's another person who's very healthy, Baruch Hashem, and very smart, Baruch Hashem, and he'll be worth $11,000. But there's a minimum base that every living person is worth. So why in the next Mishnah ask the Gemara, is the halacha that if the person died before we had the opportunity to evaluate him, he's potter. Yes, we can't know the exact number, but we know at least the minimal number. And if we remember, we learned the Rashi two shiurim ago. The Rashi says the problem with after death is because you can't really get the number. So the Gemara is saying is, yes, you can't get an accurate read, but you know at least some minimal number. Yet the Mishnah we're going to learn in a minute says you don't have to give anything. Why? Obviously, because unless the appraisal was done, l'shem, this nether, it doesn't help. So this is not an answer to our question. Mi ikigavid loishava abezuzi? Answer the more you can't bring a raya. Because there are three categories, the Great Gemara answers. There's a category where a person has, every person we know has a minimal value. Then there's a category where we appraised him, but not specifically for the nether. And then there's a third category that not only do we appraise him, but we appraise them specifically with shame this nether. Says the Gemara, and this is the way we're going to learn the shir, is that part of the procedure of a nether, when you say dummy, is that you have to go through appraisal. Without an appraisal, your nether has not been fulfilled. So let's say we'll know for sure how much a person is worth, not through an appraisal, it still wouldn't be chayiv. Why? Because there was no appraisal. So, in the case where a person died, where there was no appraisal, there is no question that he's not chayiv. Because the appraisal is an essential part of the procedure. Our Gemara is asking a different question. We had an appraisal, but it wasn't done l'shem the nether. Is that still considered an appraisal? So you can't bring a raya from one case to the next. Amdura me'elov, somebody who was appraised, just not l'shem the nether, nachas lumdana, went through an appraisal procedure. Domi alai, but if you said domi alai, and then he died with no appraisal, even if we know how much it's worth, or we have some sort of a notion, nachas lumdana, and without an umdana, there's no chiyuv. So the Mishnah continues. Chomer be'erchin mimin adorim. There's a chomer by erchin over in the dorim. Ketzad. Chomer erchi olai yameis. If somebody says erchi olai and he passes away before he can actually give his value, yitnu ha'yarshim. The yarshim have to pay it. But, as we just discussed, domi olai, if somebody accepts his value, umeis, and he died before the appraisal, la'yotnu ha'yarshim sh'ein dom l'meisim. And there's two pshatim. One pshat that the Tosfos Yontif suggests is because a mace is osa b'hanah, so a mace has no value. We're not going to learn with that pshat. We're going to learn with the pshat that we just learned a moment ago. The pshat we're going to learn is that the appraisal is an essential part of this process, and you can't do an appraisal after the person is dead. If somebody said, erich yodi, verich ragli olai, I'm going to give the value of my hand or my foot, so as we've learned numerous times, it's a meaningless statement. Why? Because there is no erich to the yad or the kohel. If somebody said erich roishi or erich kvedi olai, so since the roish and the liver are an avish and a shama tluyaba, so nice and erich kuli has to give us full erich. Zeklal, for says the Mishnah, the rule is, kol davish and a shama tluyaba, if you said the erich of an avish and a shama tluyaba, nice and erich kula, otherwise you give nothing. Let's say somebody said chatzi erich yolai. I'm going to give half of my erich. So halach is nice and chatzi erich. So to use the example, we know a male between 20 and 60 years old is worth 50, has to give 50 shkolim. If he says I'm going to give half, he has to give 25 shkolim. Interesting machlokes achronim. As we've learned so many times and we'll continue learning, that there's a unique halacha in hilchas erichin of hesed yad. Will the din of hesed yad apply here? When you said chatzi erki, so the halacha is you give half of the erich, will the din of hesed yad apply? It's a lamda shashayla. The shayla is, how do we look at it? Do we look at it as a form of erich, and by erichin there's a din of hesed yad, or this isn't erichin, because erichin is only when you give the amount the Torah prescribed. Anything else is a regular nether, and by regular nether there's no din of hesed yad. If somebody said erich chatzi olai, I'm going to give half of me, noisen erich kula. Then he has to give his whole erich. Because half of you is certainly davish and hashamat luyba. And we just learned in this Mishnah that by an avish and hashamat luyba, you have to give your whole erich. If somebody said, chatzi domilai, half of my value, noisen chatzi domav. If, on the other hand, the same idea, he said, the mei chatzi lai. So again, it's a situation of Evish and Hashem Tluyba, and therefore Noisin the Meikulai, Zeklal, Dovish and Hashem Tluyba, Noisin the Meikulai. So, as the Mefarshim explain, the Mishnah says Zeklal twice. Once to teach us the Klal of Dovish and Hashem Tluyba when you said the whole Aver, and one when you said half the Aver. Also, the Mefarshim make a point that here the Gemara is saying, here the Mishnah is saying that you give, if you said kvedi, or chatzi kvedi, it's an evish and hashamat tluyba. But why? If you remember when we learned Masechta Chulin, we learned that the liver has a very interesting characteristic. It can regenerate. So why is chatzi kvedi considered evish and hashamat tluyba? So the Mefarshim explained, it's not that every part of the liver can regenerate, only the part where it's connected to the gallbladder. And therefore, it's not considered not an evish and hashamat tluyba. Continues the Mishnah, if somebody says, I'm going to give the erich of this individual, and then the person who made the neder died, vanider, and even the subject died, the yarshim should pay. But if you said, even though the neder is dead, but the nidr, the subject is still alive, yitnu ayarshim. Meis ha-nidr, but if the nidr dies, la yitnu ayarshim, the yarshim can't pay, she'en dam l'meisim. Once he's dead, he can't be evaluated. And again, to repeat our vart, without evaluation, it isn't the proper procedure. Very interesting question. The Rebbe Chanan asks, he actually quotes his father-in-law, Rameir Atlas, in asking this question. He asks, that let's think about the case of Erchin. If somebody dies, so the Mishnah paskind, that his Yarshim should pay the Erech. But why is that any different than Hesed Yad? What's the din of Hesed Yad? That if somebody can't afford to pay, then he doesn't have to pay. So probably the best example of somebody not being able to pay is somebody who's dead. So why is there an obligation for the Yorshim to pay? So he answers a very fundamental answer. And this speaks to the heart of the subject of Hesed Yad. He said Hesed Yad doesn't say that you're absolved if you don't have money. Hesed Yad says that you could pay a reduced amount. What's the best raya, Rabbi Chanan says? The best raya is, let's say you can't afford anything. That doesn't mean you're off the hook. You'll have to pay when you can. So the fact that he's dead and he can't pay isn't the tour of Hesed Yad. There's a fascinating machloikus of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Unfortunately, it's a question that comes up. Somebody made a pledge to tzedakah. And before he could pay his pledge, he passed away. So do his yashim have to pay that pledge? The Shulchan Aruch says yes. The Ramah says no. The Ramah says they don't have to pay the pledge. And he brings a raya, our Mishnah. Dami alai, if somebody said, I'm going to go have my value, and he died before the appraisal, he does not, the Yashim don't have to pay. So there are two problems with the Ramah. The actual psak of the Ramah is hard to understand. He obligated himself. And the raya is a difficult raya. Because by Dami alai, as we keep on repeating in our shir, he died before the appraisal, and the appraisal can't be done now. But when somebody pledged $1,000 to tzedakah, there's no appraisal needed. So if anything, it should be similar to Erki Alai. And what are we learning now that by din of Erki Alai, the halacha is that the Yoshim do have to pay? So how do we understand the Ramah? Everybody grapples with the Ramah. The Tzais, Rabbi Kiva Eger say a teretz in the Ramah. It only helps to understand the psak of the Ramah. It doesn't help to understand the Rai of the Ramah. They say, why indeed is the halacha if somebody said Erki Alai and then he passed away before he could pay, that he does, that his Yashim have to pay? Because there's a rule that we've discussed. So by Hegdish, there's a special rule. As soon as I say something, it becomes Hegdish's. So therefore, the fact that he died before he could actually give it to Hegdish is immaterial. But says the Tzais, that that's strictly by Hegdish, not by Tzedakah. The Ramah is saying his Psak by Tzedakah, and therefore it has a different rule. There are two problems. First of all, we haven't answered the Raya of the Ramah. And secondly, there are many Mepharshim that say that Tzedakah and Hegdish are treated the same way. And the rule of Amiras L'Gvoya to Misiras L'Hegit is not only said by Hegdish, it's said by Tzedakah as well. So how do we understand the Ramah? So Rabbi Issa Zalman, in his Sefer Evan Ozel, says a beautiful answer that answers both questions. He says, you have to watch the wording. He says, if somebody said, I'm giving tzedakah right now, the Ramah will agree if he didn't actually give it, and he passes away, Rahman Salon, his Yashim will have to give it. What does the Ramah say? Etain, I will give. Until I actually go and take it out of my pocket, I have no obligation. And if he died, he can't fulfill obligations. And the obligation doesn't begin until he could take it and pay it. And therefore, the Ramah is very gishmak. The obligation was only that he should give it, and that the obligation only becomes an obligation when he gives it. If he dies before, he doesn't have an obligation. It's the same as Dami. If you don't have the valuation, you have no obligation. Tanaba says the Gemara Chaim and Dharma Be'erchen, the Dharma treated more seriously than Erchen. Shana Dharma Chalma Behem Chai V'Oif, the Dharma applied to even animals. Vein Adonim Behesig Yad, there's no din of Hesig Yad by Nadarim. Masha Enkin Be'erchen, which is strictly by humans. And there's the rule of Hesed Yad. On the other hand, says the Braisa, Choyme be'erchem medorim, Ketzad. Amar, if somebody said, Erki Olai, a mess, and he died before he could actually pay, the halacha is Yitnu Yarshim. On the other hand, as we've been learning, if somebody said, Dami Olai, or mace, before he could appraised, Lo Yitnu Yarshim, the Yarshim don't have to pay. Shein Dami L'mace. Says the Gemara, Amar, the halacha, as we learned in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, is if somebody said Erki Olai for mace and he passes away, the halacha is Yitnu Yarshim. The Yarshim should pay. Shma Mina, Our brace is clearly indication. The milvah peh government yorshim. There's no written shtar. There's only an oral pledge. And yet, they're obligated. And throughout Shas, we have a machloikis, if milvah peh, which wasn't committed to a shtar, is government yorshim or not. The simplest way of explaining, I've said this before, the simplest way of explaining this machloikis is shibut nechosim, is there a lien midaraisa? If we say there's a lien as soon as you take a loan, so it makes no difference if it's bishtar or not. If, on the other hand, there is no shibud, there's only shibud by shtar. If there's no shtar, there's no shibud. That's the easiest way of explaining the machloikis. There's a more complicated way of explaining. One way of explaining is that the reason that Chazal were more lenient by, Chazal were strict and make the Yorshim pay, is like Tilnul Delos Bifnei Lovin. There are no lovim here. There's no borrower here. Another pshat is we're worried about the lekuchas, and when do we and don't we need to be worried about the lekuchas? But isn't our Mishnah clearly a raya that even though it's a milvah peh, you gave him in a yarshim? Answer the Gemara, it isn't a raya. Because since this milvah, this obligation emanates from the parasha of Erchin, which is a parasha in the Torah HaKadosha, shani hocha the milvah ksub b'tayrihi, and milvah ksub b'tayrihi is certainly considered like a milvah bishtar. So says the Gemara, isn't this clearly indication that Shmamina, that Milva Ksub B'Toyra is Ksub B'Shtar Damya? At least that much we should be able to learn. Answer the Gemara, no. Hachem Ma'iskinen, Sham V'din. There wasn't just an obligation. Bezdin told me I have to pay. That clearly is in the category of a Milva B'Shtar. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that it's talking about a case. We already had a Psak Bezdin, that he's obligated to pay this. So David Kava saw that in the case of Dom Yalai, he also has that Psak Bezdin. So why don't the Yarshim have to pay? Answers the Gemara again with our Vart, Mechusar Umdana. There by Dom Yalai, yes, you have a Psak Bezdin. But the Umdana is a required step. And if you can't fulfill that required step, there is no obligation. There's no required step. So as soon as you have the Psak Bezdin, it certainly becomes a Milva Bishtar, which the Yorshim must pay. If somebody said, Erech Yodi V'Ragli Alai, so we learned it's meaningless. However, comments the Gemara, Amrav Gidla Merav, V'Noisim Damea. He has to give the value of his hand or foot. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't what the Mishnah said. V'Loy Alam Klum Ketani, the Mishnah said you don't have to give anything. Answers the Gemara, Lo yam aklum l'rabbanan. The Rabbanan holds you don't have to give anything. We learned earlier that hey, machloikus r'meir rabbanan. Ain't all the moitzit dvarav v'atala. The people say things that have no meaning. Rabbanan say people do that. R'meir says they don't. So when somebody said d'mei yod erech yod the erech ragli, it's meaningless. So r'meir interprets that he has to give the value. Ask the Gemara if that's what we're saying. So Rav Gidl taught us this already, previously. Hamachad zimna. Dam Rav Gidl amar, haime erech keli alai, erech keli zeh alai, nois and damav. So we already know Ramei's shita of ein adam moitzu dvar v'atala. Why did it have to be repeated? Answers the Gemara, na adetema, hosam hu adam yidei she'en erech l'keli. When somebody says erech keli alai, he knows that it's a meaningless statement. So Ramei says, obviously, the gom of amal l'shem damim. He meant to give the value because he knows there's no Erech by Kalim. Aval Hocha, but in our case, Mitikatoi, the person maybe made a mistake. The Kosovar, he may be thought, Keichad Ike Erech Roishi V'Erech Kvedi, Ike Nami Erech Yodi V'Erech Ragli. Aval Domila, he never meant to give the value. He meant only Erech. Tamashmon, Ain't other Maitre Dvaro V'Atol. Farshim discuss, so we actually have learned this halacha in a number of situations. In halacha, when a person said half of my avish and neshama tluya ba, half when he said it on a keli, and when he said it on a child less than a month old. And the question is, why does Rav Gidl have to say it in every one of the cases? So Farshim explained. By a child that's less than a month old, there is no erich at all. So there we would think, the Rameya agrees you don't have to give anything. But by yad, there is an erich. On the other hand, a child below a month could easily be confused with a child above a month. And a hand could easily be confused with a head, as the Gemara said. But a keli is nothing, is not connected to a human. Maybe Ramei would agree. That's why Rav Gidl had to say it three different times. Erech Roish V'Erech Kvedi, Nois and Erech Kula. My Tama, we've learned this din many times. The flush is Kamar HaKamana. Any time you said the Erech of an Avish and a Shama Tluimba, that your life depends on it, Yechayif. Zeh Klal, Davish and a Shama Tluimba, as we know, whenever the Mishnah uses the word Zeh Klal, it's coming to teach us something more. What's it coming to teach us? L'suyim and Akuvim Amala. That above the knee is considered Avish and a Shama Tluimba. Why specifically this Trefa more than any other? Two explanations essentially connected. One is because we had a machloikis, if you recall, a Masech Techulin. Not everybody agrees that a cut above the knee is a treifa. So we want to teach us that this Mishnah holds that it is a treifa. Furthermore, one could argue that even if you're going to say a cut above the knee is a treifa by an animal, it isn't necessarily so by a person. And here we're talking about an erech of a person. Teaches us our Mishnah that not only is it considered a treifa by animals, but it's even a treifa by people as well. If somebody said, Chetzi Arkeolai, Noisin, half of his cherk. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara. If somebody said, Chetzi Arkeolai, Noisin, Chetzi Arkeolai. Comments the Brisa further. Rabbi Yosef Yehudaima, Loikev Noisin Erech Shalom. Ask the Gemara, Loik Amai. Why does this person deserve Malkus? What did he do? Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, what he means is Loikev Erech Shalom. The biggest malchus you give a person is make him pay. And here you make him pay his whole erech. Ask the Gemara, why taka? Does he have to pay? My tama. When you said chatzi erka, you only really ought to pay half. But when you said erech chatzi, as our Mishnah just taught us, and now the Brice repeats, the Gemara repeats it, v'erech chatzi, have a dovish and a shama tluyba. Since these two phrases are so very similar, Rabbi Yeshua Yehuda made exeri, they should be treated the same way. Chatzi dami elai, noisin, demei chatzi elai, noisin, demei kulai. Why demei chatzi? Because it's the Avish Neshama Tluiba, and as we just quoted, Maitama, Nedav Erkach Nefashik Siv. Zah Klal, Dovish Neshama Tluiba, Lesuye, like we just learned, Menakuva Lamala by Domim, that it's considered Avish Neshama Tluiba. Says the Gemara, Tanarabon, Hamara Chatzi Erach Keli. If somebody says they're going to give the Chatzi of an Erach Keli, Remei Omer, Ramei says, Noisin Damav. You have to give its value. Chamam Loi Meklum. Says the Gemara, Rava Cholish. Rava was ill. Ola Gabei Abayi V'Rabbonin. Abayi and the other Rabbonin came, V'Yasvi, and they came to Mivakachola, and they tried to understand this price. Bishlam Ramei Kusav. Ramei's opinion is very understandable. Ramei's opinion is, as we just learned, Ein Adam Moitzit V'Rav V'Atala. And therefore, Loishna Kula, V'Loishna Chetzia, even though there is no erech to a keli, ain't other mites dvarvel of atala, and you have to give the value. Ela Rabbanan, but let's try to understand, they asked to Rava, Rabbanamai Kasavri, what is the basis of the opinion of the Rabbanan? E Kasavri, if they hold, other mites dvarvel of atala, so then it should make a difference. He said, Chatzi, Kula, I feel a Kulanami. Doesn't make a difference. If the statement has no meaning, it's ignored. If, on the other hand, ain't other moitzit v'al v'atala, afil chatsinami. So you should have to give half. Amaluhu. So they responded. Rabbanan d'ach k'rameyah servalei. They agree with Rameyah. But there's a caveat. V'savalei k'rav Shimon, they also agree with Rav Shimon. Savalei k'rameyah, they agree with the opinion of Rameyah that we've been learning. Dama ain't other moitzit v'al v'atala. V'savalei k'rav Shimon, there's a mishnah m'sechta menachas. The Mishnah Masechet Menachos says, if somebody obligated himself to bring a Karban Mincha out of barley, now there are essentially no Karban Minchas out of barley. So the Rabbanan say, we ignore the barley, and he brings a regular Karban Mincha. Rav Shimon says, he said barley, it's meaningless. Shlo yisnadav k'derecha misnadve. Why? Similarly here. Somebody who says, Erech Keli Alai, Ein Adam Moitzit V'Al V'Atala, we say he didn't mean Erech, he meant its value. Kule urchelin asnadve. Talge urchelin asnadve. There's only that much you could do. To say that he said chatzi erech keli, and now we should say he means half of the value, is too much of a stretch. And the way I think the Gemara means, and we've said this for it in our shiurim, Rameyah's opinion is essentially a very difficult opinion to understand. What did Rameyah say? I said I'm giving the erech of the keli. it's a meaningless statement, or Erech al-Chatzi Keli. And all of a sudden, you said Erech, and it means, I say, you didn't mean Erech, you meant Domin. What's the essential problem with Ramey's opinion? Whoever opened the Gemara knows, Dvarim Shebelei Veina Dvarim. So you can't say that's what you meant. What you meant doesn't count. And here, what you meant counts. So how do we understand Ramey's opinion? That we totally reinterpret what he means. So I think we've said in our previous shurim an explanation. It's similar to when a person stands under the chuppah. And the chassan, who isn't necessarily familiar with all Hilchas Kedushin, tells us, Kala Re'at and Kedushas Li, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. He knows what Kedushin is. That's why he asks three words. Kedas Moshe Yisrael. It's ever what the Rabbanim say. Whatever I'm doing, the Rabbanim should make it work. Says Rameyu, when somebody makes a nether, his wording isn't the only thing that counts. He leaves it up to the Rabbanim to interpret his words. But even the Rabbanim only could do that much. And that's the machlokes of this braisa. The Tanna Kamma holds that even if he said Erech Chatzi Keli, which is such a meaningless statement, we have the ability to turn it into a statement. Rav Shimon, the Chacham hold, even Ramey say the Rabbanim only could do when they have something to work with. When it's such a meaningless statement, then it has nothing to, then even Ramey could do nothing with that statement. And as I saw the svart, I was Baruch Hashem zoicha to see a ritva mesechta ksubis, a fascinating ritva, which I think proves that this svart is correct. The ritva mesechta ksubis says that this din that Ramey says ein adam moitz dvar v'batala was only said by Hegdish. Why? If Ramey holds ein adam moitz dvar v'batala, so why is it limited to Hegdish? The answer is by Hegdish. When somebody's magdish, he realizes, like most of us, don't know kachim. So he's relying on the Rabbanim to make it work. But when I speak to you, and I have a conversation with you, and I have even have an obligation with you, every conversation I have, I don't connect to what the Rabbanim are going to do with my words. And therefore, even Rameyer, who holds Ein Adam Maitz Dvar Al-Vatala, will be able to ignore those words. Continues the Gemara. Harmer Erkish Aplani Elayu Meis HaNoider. If the Noider dies, the halacha is that you still have to pay it. Mainly, why? Because Sham Bedin. So ask the Mahayno Hach. We learned that case in the beginning of the Mishnah already, that if he was Amad Bedin and then he passes away, his Yashim should have to pay the Erech. Answers the Gemara. Sefer Yisrochalei, the next case. Domav Shaploni Olai. If somebody said he's going to give Domav Shaploni, or Meis HaNoider, Yidnu Ayashim. Maritema, Kivin Deloyim Dua. The nidr, the subject wasn't appraised before the noider died, and maybe therefore lo yishtabed nechsei, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay, even though the appraisal could take place after his death. And it teaches us the Mishnah, kamash malon, kivin d'amid bedin, since he stood in the Torah, ishtabed nechasov, he became obligated. For umdana is just part of the procedure, and as long as you could accomplish the procedure, gilim nusbal mahu, and his estate is obligated to pay. One word of agdama. I didn't know, we learned many times. There are two ways of obligating oneself to a carbon. One is a nether, and one is a nedava. A nether, you say, harei olai, becomes a personal obligation. And therefore, the halacha is, even if you designated an animal or whatever to fulfill your obligation, and then something happens to that animal before you actually deliver it to Hegdish, you're responsible. A nedava is harei zu, where you designate a specific animal, and therefore if something happens to that animal before you could deliver it to Hegdish, you're not held responsible. So says that Mishnah. If somebody says shar zeh oila, this shar should be an oila, or bai zeh carbon, or this house should be a carbon, machlokes rishonim how to understand the two cases of the Mishnah. One is, Shar Zeh Oil is a case of Kedushas HaGuf, where the animal itself will be in the Mizbeach. Bayez says Kedushas Bedek HaBayez, you don't bring a house as a carbon. Others say that both situations of Kedushas HaGuf, because what I meant to say is that the house I'm being Magdish, and then that the proceeds should be used to bring a carbon. Or Meis HaShar, and then the Shar died. Or V'nafal HaBayez, the house collapsed. So since they said Zeh, if they're not here, Patam L'Shalom. But if somebody said, Shor Zeh Olai, Oila, or he said by ze olai, so he added the olai carbon, there Meisa Shavu Nafal Abayis, Chayav L'Shalom will be responsible. Begins the Gemara. The Mefarshim ask, even if you're not responsible because the house collapsed in the Reisha, but why isn't there a problem about Ta'achar? You have to fulfill your obligation. The Mefarshim say, very interesting teretz. They say it's referring to a situation where you brought the animal to the Azara, and before you could bring it as a carbon, it died. So the issue about Ta'achar is resolved as soon as you bring it to the Azara. The issue of Nedava makes that you shouldn't be held responsible. Another interesting question, Machlokes Rishonim actually. Shazeh Olai Oila. So you have sort of a combination here. He said Zeh, and that's going to be actually the focus of the Gemara. He said Zeh and he said Olai. So when you say Zeh, there's immediately a Kedushas Aguf. If I say Shazeh carbon, there's immediately a Hegdish on the carb, on the animal. What's the Halacha where he said Shazeh Olai? Does the fact that I have to replace it not give the prevent the animal from having a Kedushas Aguf? Or since I said Zeh, even though I said a lie, the animal already gets a Kedushas Aguf. It's actually Machlokes Rishonim. Begins the Gemara. Am Rav Chiya Barav. Lo Shana, El Do Amad Meisha Zeh Olai. The Sefer refers to a situation where I said I'm going to give the value of the Shor. Oila. Aval Amad Sha Zeh Olai Oila. So says Chiya Barav, Rav Chiya Barav, a big Chiddush. Kim the Amad Zeh. Since he used the word Zeh, even though he also used the word Olai, Umeis, and then the animal dies, Ein Chai B'Chuyusoi. It's going to be treated like an Adava. Why? I, he used the word Olai. The Gemara itself asked the question. Answers the Gemara, Olai, what he meant to say with the word Olai is only Lavi Kama. I need to deliver it. But not that he meant to turn it into a nether. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Shaza Oila. If somebody says Shaza Oila, Hashar Hegdish. So as I just said, certainly everybody agrees that in the case of a pure Nedava, the Shar becomes Hegdish, and therefore if you use it for your own personal needs, Mayalamba, the Zachiv Mi'ila. Meis Oinignav, if something happens to it, Einachai Berchu Yusai, you're not held responsible. Continues the Braisa, and this is the question. Shar Ze Olai Oila, Hashar Hegdish, Mayalamba, Umeis Oinignav, Chai Berchu Yusai. So what do we see here? That this is the case of Chiya Barav, where somebody said Shar Ze Olai Oila, that Chiya Barav said that it's considered like a Nedava, and you're not held responsible. And here the Braisa says that you are held responsible. How do we understand this Braisa? Says the Gemara, Mi Lima Masnisen. Why is this Braisa any more difficult than the Mishnah would be? Because how did we interpret the Kimna de Kamadami? When the Mishnah said Shor Ze Olai, that the Mishnah said it's treated like a nether, because he didn't say the word dummy. What did Chiya Barav say that's different than the Mishnah? Chiya Barav said that you added the word dummy. So there's no kasha. It's a difference if you said dummy or you didn't say dummy. Hachanami de Kamadami. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that explanation? From mid the sefer, the sefer of the Braisa, which the Gemara is going to quote immediately, said the word dummy. So obviously, Reisha didn't like come a dummy. And even though you didn't say the word dummy, he says, Yechai b'chriyusai. So how do we understand this? The Tani sefer, because what does the sefer say? If somebody said, Demei shar oila, hashar chulin, because he's only obligating himself in the value of the shar. Vei mei alamba. Meis oinignav, enechai b'riyosai. Avo, chai b'chuyus domav. You don't have to replace the animal, but you have to bring the value. So now how do we understand this ratio according to Chiya Barav? Answers the Gemara, the difference between the ratio and the sefer is as follows. Ratio is sefer the kamadami. The ratio and the sefer are both referring to yisad domi. But the difference is as follows. Ratio domi yagdish hashor l'domav. We said the shor should be kadosh l'domav. The sefer the kamadami chshiyav domi yagdisha. So therefore, this ratio where you said the dumb have hegdish, so then if something happens to them, you're not held responsible. The sefer where you didn't say it yet because there is no money, you will be held responsible. Ask them about how could that be, that if you say, those money don't exist yet. And we have a rule, ain't other magdish tovah shlo b'loilam. Why? The two reasons why ain't other magdish tovah shlo b'loilam. One is because what is hegdish? Hegdish is a form of a kinyan. And a kinyan requires that you should be serious. You're not serious about a deal on something that doesn't exist. Another pshat is a deal can only be done on something that has a physical tangibility. If it doesn't exist, you can't be magdish it. Answers the Gemara, Amar Yudah Marav, Hamani, this price follows the opinion of Rameya, Dama Adam Magdish Dama of Shalai B'la'ilam. Where do we see Rameya says it? Rameya says that if somebody, if a non-Jew goes to a woman and says, Ahareyat Mekudeshes, Lachashes Gair, after I'll become a Ger, or after you'll become a Ger, a Goy doesn't have Kedushin. The halacha of the Kedushin is a Kedushin. Why? Adam Magdish Dama of Shalai B'la'ilam. Ikadami, a different version of this dialogue, Amalei Papal Abayiv, Amalei Ram, Amalei Fchizda, Kaman, how can we understand this brisa? The only way to understand this kremeya, and therefore, even though the money isn't yet here, it can become hegdish. Amalei, elu kaman. Of course, that's the way we have to say it.